And back again here at Lenexa, Kansas, the Sports Buffoons here with Jason JG on my left, Mike Settle running it here, and Tanner Dawson on my right. What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Yo,
everybody?
yo.
Good to be back in the house again, correct?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's great.
I mean, last week was awesome going to Limitless Brewing Company and having a show over there, getting to meet a few fans and shake some hands. I met a Vikings fan out there.
We did.
And all that kind of good stuff and had some good beers along the way. So that part was awesome for sure. But I'm not going to lie, man, I get to my comfy spots in life, and I feel, you know, we had the show back in the day. If you guys remember, those of you, the very great following we have, if you remember back at the old apartment complex, that's right.
Yeah, miss that one at all.
What? No, that was awesome, Tanner. It was a great setup.
Look, it's all right.
If I want to get a drink, I just crawl underneath the table, grab a drink. You guys keep talking about NBA. I come back, and, you know, everything's happy. Here we are.
I disagree. I was more comfortable last week at the brewery because I like the money. We got a little bit of money out of that deal, and I like the money. So I disagree with you on that. I would rather make money than be comfortable, Mike.
Don't disclose of exactly how much money, by the way.
I mean, it's not life-changing money, but at least, you know, it was worth my while to be there. So
good to get paid.
Good to get paid, man.
What's Tanner doing over there?
Checking something out.
Well, you're the sound guy.
Look, you know I'm a little bit of everything. I'm just making sure everything's running right. It's our first day back at the studio. Just, make sure stuff's good.
Okay. Well, I hope we're good because we're trying to kick it off here, Tanner.
Oh, that's so much better.
All right. This is why we're going to hire Tanner to be our IT guy when we get our warehouse going. We're going to open it up, get the IT guy up in here, and he's going to run everything for us to make sure we're running smoothly.
And so. He's getting promoted to producer, which is, you know, you get a little bit more money, Tanner, so you should be happy and more comfortable that.
I get to that 25-cent mark is what you're saying?
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right, guys, enough with the fooling around for a moment. Let's talk a little bit about some real stuff. We go into the NFL draft, obviously. And that was pretty badass. We went there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Spent a lot of time at Boulevard Brewing Company. But overall, I mean, we got to experience something that we might never experience again in our lifetimes. And that was getting to see the NFL draft live in person. We got to see Roger Goodell. We all boo him while he walks up every single time. Come up there. We also got to pay $13 Bud Lights if we chose to. And wait in an hour long line. That did happen at one point. But all in all, guys, just real quick for the sake of the show, I want to talk one more time about our experience of the draft before we dive into the Chiefs and surprises of the draft. I mean, just three full days. We got to hang out with Nick Bodkins, which was awesome. So good to see you, Nick, and meet you in person and stay in a hotel room with you for the first time.
Agreed.
Tanner and you shared beds. Never mind. Was it the same bed?
We weren't the same bed.
I was going to say, with that door closed, just I didn't remember know which bed you went to.
Bodkins, which was out way before I was. So we didn't.
Oh, up. So that you're saying you took advantage of the situation.
I'm saying I avoided the situation.
No, never mind. There was pizza on the bed. That's why you had your own bed. Okay. Anyways, you guys, just overall thoughts, you know, one more time for the fans out there, what we thought about the draft being in Kansas City.
Real quick, too. Ayo Saba, what's up? Thanks for listening in. He goes, is it true they had the fanciest porta potties ever? That is very true.
They did. And
they were cleaning it and everything. Well,
I'll say this about the porta potties. They were nice and fancy, but they were very small. Basically, once you walk in, you cannot turn around.
No,
if you try to make a 360 maneuver in there, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to go well.
It's not going to end up well. So that part was not the best, but otherwise they were pretty nice.
They were pretty nice.
They're in Rockfest.
Jason, what was your thoughts on the draft event?
First of all, the porta potty sucked, right? Because that's the first time in my whole life, you know, I use porta potties all the time, you know, and that was the first time in my life that I nearly threw up on my mouth because somebody must have whipped it out and like pissed all over the place. But yeah, I almost threw up in there. Maybe
everybody does.
It was either the smell or the tequila or a combination of both. I can't decide which, but unlike you guys, I like the atmosphere. Now, just to be clear, I've never been to an NFL draft in my whole life. in terms of being there live. So this is my first time, but I was happy with the total experience. I mean, I know you guys wanted it to be a little bit more like it is on TV, and we didn't get that experience, but the concerts were amazing. And I think that that kind of put me over the top were the concerts.
Yeah. All I really asked for as far as the experience goes was just to, whenever a pick is made, I would have liked to have seen on these big screens we had out there in the lawn area, I would have liked to have seen maybe some highlights, maybe a video. Hell, put Mel Kiper Jr. up there. You know, who would have thought I'd ever say that? Oh, here I am saying it. Put his ass up there. Put Todd McShay out there. I want to hear some reviews about each player being taken. I'm sure the fans out there would like to hear that too. Instead, what happened when you were live at the event was the pick was made, the player's name was announced by Goodell, and then the screens and the sound and audio went immediately to the next team's pick. So you were left there going, awesome, cool, let's get another beer, I guess. I mean, you know, I want to have some more interaction with visually seeing some highlights of each player and all that. I think the normal fan out there would have liked to have seen that. And that's something that we kind of missed out on. And we got to experience more of on Saturday because we went to Boulevard, and Boulevard had the normal graphics up there of NFL Network and all that. So anyways, what was your thoughts, Tanner?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool experience. Again, first time ever getting a chance to go, you know, I don't regret it at all. Yes, I agree with you, Mike, there on a little bit more of the sports side of things, you know, seeing something on the board, even if it was just like the best available, anything would have been great. You know, I thought too, like for the first, you know, maybe for the first 10 picks, having even a panel up there at stage, you know, just being able to essentially, you know, just talk about each pick and talk about the upcoming picks, I thought would have been great. The band was awesome. That did play in between.
Fall Out Boy was really good at the end.
Well, I wasn't talking about Fall Out Boy. I was talking about the actual band that was during the draft playing.
Oh, that band.
Yeah, I thought the stage band was pretty great. Fall Out Boy was awesome. Blew out my mind. Motley Crue, I thought was pretty cool to see. We didn't see the other one as there was a wind advisory as soon as the draft ended. So he ended up going on stage about 2 hours later.
Oh, we saw Motley Crue, Tanner. Let's not forget about that.
I said Motley Crue.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Fall Out Boy still.
No, I said Motley Crue.
Okay.
But Motley Crue, we got to see Tommy Lee in the middle of the fountain play drums, so that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, who would have known he had three drumsticks?
Yeah. Mr. A.C. Rieger says, old wax KC. Like, it was a cool spot. They could have done better on the beer tents, especially the first night. You know, we did wait an hour to get two beers, and then they ran out of beer in multiple nights. Well, you know, they were down to seltzers.
I know, hold on. The trick is, you guys, for people out there listening going forward, if you're going to the draft in Green Bay in a couple of years or wherever else, don't buy the beers out there. Like, seriously, screw all the beer Bud Light crap. Bring in your own drinks and save yourself some money.
Yeah.
I did talk to somebody and I figured out exactly why they ran out of beer. I heard there was a lot of theft going on out there, and I didn't witness it firsthand. But I think that's the reason. I think I spoke with like one of the officers or some shit out there. He told me, yeah, there's a lot of theft going on out here. So I think that had something to do with them running out of the fucking beers. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of Bud Lights being stolen, probably. only good stuff.
Old Backs KC was the name of the stage band. Thank you, AC.
Oh, there it is. Okay, good to know information. Speaking of drinks, you guys, before we kick it off here a little more, what are we sipping on today?
I got myself a lovely Pepsi Zero and a couple waters, I think, down below me somewhere. So
look at Tanner being a sober boy after such a hard weekend.
We went at it, guys.
We did.
I'm good for
a
while.
We stayed up late as hell. We went after it hard.
We went hard, and then we went hard.
I'm not going to lie. There was a moment standing there at Boulevard, you guys. I stood there, and I felt my body go into this mode of, like, I might die right now. I'm gonna stay strong for the bros.
I fell asleep before my wife and my child.
But at least we can all tell our grandkids that we're walking around drunk and we got to see Ryan Clark and Fred Taylor.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Despite not getting
got to go see. It was Channing Crowder, Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, and I walked up to all of them and said hi to them and told them I love them. You know, because whenever you're drunk and you're happy,
you get emotional.
You run around and you get emotional and you grab Fred Taylor from behind like this and you shake him a little bit and you tell him that you love him. that, you know, because the truth is out there listening is that Fred Taylor growing up was my favorite player in the entire NFL during that time period. That's right. Even above Chiefs players at that time. Fred Taylor was my favorite player as a kid. He was right up there with Ken Griffey Jr. for me.
So you grabbed him. I think I missed out on that.
He was wearing a sport coat, and I did grab him a little. I didn't know how much it was worth. It might have been worth 10 grand, but I knew I didn't have greasy fingers, so I felt okay and comfortable doing it.
You grabbed him.
And I let him know I loved him. That way he knows, like, it's with love at least. Well, if I got your coat dirty, it's because I loved you.
According to Bodkins, that's amazing. According to Bodkins, he met Channing Tatum, so that was good.
Yeah. He thought he met Channing Tatum the whole time. It's like, no, Channing Crowder.
We keep correcting him. It was fun.
It's a little different.
It was a fun time. A.O. Saba says, I love you guys. This is the best podcast ever. Appreciate you on that.
We're working on it, man.
He asked the question, did you run into the first-round Chiefs pick, Felix? Walking around basically anonymous like a fan on Thursday before the draft.
That's funny, but no, I did hear about that. We did not run into him, but I do know he was signing autographs at Rally House before the draft, which was very ironic that he just happened to be in town.
How
which,
weird.
You know, he's from Manhattan, or not from, but he's, you know, played in Manhattan, yeah. At K-State. So him being in Kansas City was no big deal. And so, yeah, I'm sure he was out there in the crowd somewhere, but there was a lot of people, man. They said the estimate was 300,000 roughly for the whole draft. But Thursday was a wild one, man. It was
past
packed.
60.
Thursday was packed.
Yeah, so it was a little over 60,000 on Thursday that they would even let in. They did. There was like another, I think, 15 they couldn't even let in.
Right. We did not see Felix.
And though. Our guy, Tufel Fellers.
Tufel.
He's our guy.
What's up, man? How you doing? Hope you went to the draft as well. Probably you didn't, but if you did, let us know. Okay, guys, real quick. What are we sipping on before we move on to the Chiefs talk?
What do you guys got?
Well, Tanner, you said you got Pepsi. I got a little Coca-Cola. It's apparently got Jack Daniels in it, but I didn't ask for that. I was just trying to get Coke. So I got two of those for the caffeine, not for the whiskey. It just happens to be in there. I didn't mean to put
it. Happens,
look,
right?
Guys, I had a long weekend. I'm trying to be sober.
He had a long weekend, and I the reason I know that is because he's got these sissy drinks over here. I can see it right now. 7.0% alcohol.
Are you serious?
What a sissy over there. But I respect you because you're recovering. You need your recovery time from last
week. I didn't know they put alcohol in here.
To answer your question, I'm sipping on a mystery drink right now. I don't even know what it is because I had my bartender / producer / content creator over here to my right make me something with, I don't know what's in there, man. But it tastes amazing, and I'm pretty sure he fixed me a double or a triple. So
nice, good thank bartender, you for
that, Tanner.
So Tanner is a DJ, IT man, and a bartender all at once.
You know,
so
yesterday,
put that on the resume.
Yesterday, I was this close, guys, of buying a DJ board or a DJ board because I almost did it.
And he's also
He's
also the bookkeeper. He paid my salary again tonight.
That's right.
What is that
he
like?
He did hand over the money.
That's like a year. That's 1 year, 12 months, 18 months in a row. You paid my salary.
We can at least say that's more money than Boulevard would accept. So,
yeah, that is. That's true.
Real quick here. Tufel out here says, action sees irony at calling out sissy drinks while drinking kids hug barrels alcohol.
Ooh. Yeah, that's right.
By the way, Felix is local. He went to Lee Summit. I forgot about that. And okay. So he grew up a Chiefs fan. There's a picture of him in the Chiefs on the Chiefs. Well,
If Tufel's still in Lee Summit, he's right by where I was hanging out Wednesday.
I was from A.O. Saba.
A.O.
Saba said
that. Oh, A.O. Saba's saying that about Felix.
Yeah, about Felix.
Dude, I can't see the screen.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't turn my TV today for you guys. So,
all right. I can't see what you guys are saying, so I'm blind. Anyways, you guys, let's talk a little bit about the draft for a few minutes here before we jump in later on in the show to the NBA talk. But overall, just the draft in general, the Chiefs draft in general, we're going to work on this name, you guys. And I've been, you know, watching K-State now quite a bit more closely the last couple of years and really started to fall in love with the program this past year and got to see a badass game from Felix. We're going to work on the last name, Onodike Uzomah. I hope I'm close. Onodike Uzomah?
Onodike Uzomah?
Not Uzomah. Onodike Uzomah.
Uzomah.
Felix. Oh, Uzomah. My bad.
Felix Onodike Uzomah.
Isn't there a... Onodike? Isn't there a...
Uzomah.
Isn't there a tight end called CJ Uzama? Are they related?
They're not related.
They pronounce it differently.
But CJ did bang Kay Adams, so that's a fun fact for you guys.
Because everybody always used to pronounce his name.
I always have fun facts for you guys.
CJ, they always pronounce his name Uzoma. So is that
Uzama?
Uzama. Okay. Yeah.
So we're going to continue to work on this name as we go, as Chiefs fans now following along with Felix.
And for now, Mike.
For now, we're just gonna call him Felix, you guys.
Felix, and that's what I like.
We'll go from there. But anyways, so the Chiefs' whole draft in general, they did exactly positional wise. They drafted a little bit need based, right? I mean, we talked about this team, and you know, I talked about the idiots on 610 of Bob Fesco and Klingler in the morning, going, "Oh, we don't have any needs. You can just take best player available. You don't have any needs." And I told them, I was pissed. I was like, "This is bullshit. Of course we have needs." Like. We have needs at defensive end, needs at wide receiver. We got to figure out the other tackle situation. Well, guess what the three first picks of the freaking Chiefs draft was, guys? I mean, hello, right there in front of you. So the Chiefs took not just the best player, like, available approach, but best player by positional need,
yep.
Right? And Felix is also a guy who, to me, is still developing as a player, too, is the thing. It's like, this guy is not a done, set in stone, what you see is what you get. There's still a lot of upside to this guy going into the NFL. And I think that coming out of K-State, Tanner, I don't know why you're laughing, but they run a lot of 3-3-5 stack over at K-State. So you're going to see a lot of that spread out D-line.
Shocker. It's Tufel's fault. I'm laughing.
D-line look over there at K-State. I think playing in a system with the Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo, where you're going to have more guys taking up space on the D-line, it's going to open more things for Felix mm-hmm. along the way. This could be a freaking hidden gem. And this guy's been a guy that's you know, had to put on some weight coming out of senior year. He weighed 207 pounds coming out of high school, now up to 255. But, you know, it's just one of those kind of guys that's really molded himself into becoming an absolutely awesome NFL prospect. And it's been one step at a time, not a guy who was just showed up there and was already polished. It's not like that with him. But that's a good thing. We love guys like this because he is pro ready at the same time, not maxed out. So that's what I care about. You know, last year I was pissed off about Carl Loftus because he was not pro ready at all.
No.
And sure, he wasn't maxed out, but the floor was too low for me to be happy with Carl Loftus. Where I'm happy with the floor of Felix, what he's going to provide this year.
Look at what Felix can do, too. This is a guy that can bounce around on the line. He doesn't have to be just outside. This is a guy that can bounce inside sometimes and be effective. He can play all along that defensive line, which Reed, Veach, and Spags all love that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, you could double him up with Carl Loftus on one side while you also have Chris Jones on the outside and so on. You can do stuff like that. He is going to be predominantly on the outside, though. I mean, 6'4", 255. I mean, that's an outside edge rusher, you guys. But I'd like the way he plays both the run and the pass equally as well. So that's something that I wanted to see out of a pick for the Chiefs that I'm really excited about. And I talked about Felix a long time ago, like 3 months ago, that he'd be a late first, early second round pick for this team. And boom, it happened exactly, you know, for once. Kind of a pick that was expected to fall in that range, went exactly in the range that we expected him to come out of. So, anyways, Jason, what's your thoughts on Felix, the pick?
I love the pick, and I'm sure you guys have all heard the audio by now, but I really loved what Andy said about him and the fact that Spags really loves this guy. Now, when I heard that, the first thing came to my mind was, Spags doesn't really like rookies. Like, traditionally, he doesn't like rookie players. So if a guy like Steve Spagnuolo steps out and said, "Yeah, I love this guy, I want him," and Andy Reid is sitting over there saying, we didn't even have to make a decision here. Like, the decision was made for us based on his talent. That kind of hit it home for me because, you know, Spagnuolo, he doesn't generally like rookies. He likes the veteran players. And so that says something to me about the value that we got with this player. And I love the upside with him, and I think he's going to be a great player for the Chiefs.
Yeah, Andy grew up a Chiefs fan as well. So if you guys have seen the photo jet, got to have an experience walking out in the field of Arrowhead and just kind of soaking it all in of understanding that he's a Chief now. So that's an awesome thing. I mean, can you guys imagine growing up Chiefs fans and you're drafted by your favorite team growing up in your hometown team?
Oh, no.
I mean, that's just badass. And there's nothing else. That's a storybook type of writing right there. And now from here on, you just got to go, all right, man, you've got it this far. You, this is your favorite team. I'm sure as a kid you would have told yourself, I'd get 100 sacks for that team. We'll go get 100 sacks then. Let's go.
I'm not going to be surprised if he turns out to be a big dick baller for this team, man. A franchise type player. Won't be surprised.
All I ask for is Tamba Hali. That's what I want out of Felix.
Here we got, I believe, Andy Reid talking about Felix here. If I can get it to work.
You're the IT guy, Tanner.
Because we can't hear because my volume's off.
Well, the IT guy.
Nope. Okay, that's cool. Okay.
Well, we'll try.
Cool. Okay.
We'll try again, Tanner. The good news is,
if it happens in between, you'll know.
We'll just not put this part of the clip on the resume.
There we go.
His ability to rush the passer and play the run. He does both very well. He's also a Kansas City native here, so we appreciate that part of it too. But most of all, a good football player. When you're picking right there at 31, you try to take the best player that's available to you on the board, and he was that guy. And so we feel very comfortable bringing him into our program. Great kid. Had a chance to hang with him here during our local pro day, and enjoyed talking with him and visiting with him there. So
that's just a little bit of Andy Reid there talking about, unless you want more.
No, it's good.
No, they were good. I mean, I just wanted to point out the fact that, like, they came off as being like, we didn't really have to think that much for that pick. And when you have your coach come out and say that, like, that's you get a good feeling about the player if they didn't really have to think about it that much.
I mean, it made sense all along. It was a position of need as well as a high value player at a good spot. So
here's Brett Veach.
All right. Well, appreciate you guys sticking around. It's one of those good problems to have when you have to wait to the end of the draft to make a selection. But needless to say, we're excited to add Felix to this roster. And just want to first give a shout out to the amazing fans that filled the streets downtown. What an awesome sight. What an awesome night for Kansas City. You know, all the feedback I got from all the NFL members downtown working this game. They couldn't be more excited for the turnout tonight. And again, quite an exciting night for us, and excited to add Felix to this roster. And with that, I'll take your questions.
What was the conversation like when you first, called him, and, he sees whatever he had coming up on his car ID?
Oh, no, he was super excited. And, it's one thing, obviously, just to get drafted in the NFL, but then to have a local kid to get that call on draft night while the draft being held in Kansas City, needless to say, he was really excited. And, obviously the conversation went really well.
Right, what jumps out to you as a prospect looking at him over the last season?
Yeah, well, we had a chance to see him, obviously, for playing right down the road there in Manhattan. But, one of the younger guys in the draft, too, I think he's just turned 21. And, he's done nothing but grow and develop, throughout the last couple of years. And, we're excited for Steve and for Joe Cullen to get it, get their hands on him now and continue that growth and trajectory uphill. But again, anytime you can add a premium position, one of the youngest players in the draft and have that to work with for a long time is something we're excited about.
So you see, obviously Veach is excited as well.
Yeah. And he's also only the second K-Stater to have three sacks games in his career at K-State. So obviously when he shows up big. This is what we've seen before. So
we got some comments on Keen Felix here. First, I'm going to give you the twofold comment I was laughing at.
Okay.
He says, I think most anyone involved with broadcasting banned Kay Adams. That's not a master lock to pick. So there's the twofold.
Oh, that's probably the truth, twofold. Twofold. We should talk more about Kay Adams as we go.
Ayo Saba out here says, Keen Felix was his nickname at K-State. Did you see his stream bean? He was in high school. He was a man compared. Like, he's a man. Compared to what he was 4 years ago, Felix was a Big 12 defensive player of the year over the Iowa State defensive player taking. He had a game versus Texas Tech 2 years ago, rub it in, where for a brief minute or two, he held the NCAA sack record, and it was TCU. So,
All right.
Cool. Guys. Thank you, Ayosaba. Thank you, Tufel, for commenting in. So,
yeah, very, very excited for that one. Now we got a few more to get to, obviously. Let's real quick. We don't need to go over it in depth by any means, but Rashee Rice, obviously, it's a guy that worked out with Mahomes in the offseason a little bit, coming in the second round, pick 55 overall. Guys, this was under the radar. You know why? We're all sitting here yapping our asses off about Zay Flowers and Quentin Johnston and how Mahomes worked out with them and how the Chiefs literally invited Zay Flowers out to work with Mahomes. you know, specifically.
Smokescreen.
It was all about bringing up these guys. Quentin Johnston and Zay Flowers, right? It's all about that. But at the end of the day, the little hidden gem who fell in the cracks that no one talked about was the fact that Mahomes went out down to SMU with Rashee Rice and worked out with him individually as well. But no one talked about that. And here we are today. And Mahomes also was the one to give him the call for the draft pick. So there's obviously a lot of chemistry there to begin with. Mahomes likes him quite a bit. So this was a Mahomes pick. What do we think of Rashee Rice? I mean, are we happy with the situation? I mean, is he the perfect prospect? No. But is he someone that can fit into this offense and replace Juju? Of course.
So when you're talking about Mahomes making the pick, I think that a lot of people out there hold Patrick Mahomes accountable for his last pick, which was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I've found in my experience with life that a lot of these times when you make picks like this, you make decisions in life, whether it be in the draft or otherwise, a lot of these things tend to work out 50-50. And so if you want to go ahead and give Mahomes credit for that Clyde Edwards-Helaire pick, that's fine. This is his 50-50 moment, I think, with Rashee Rice, because, I mean, if he's already got that chemistry with him from the very beginning, I think that speaks volumes in terms of what this guy could potentially be. But you guys also know that I'm a big guy. I have a big thing about names.
Yeah.
And when you are a wide receiver in the NFL and your last name is Rice, you have a lot to live up to. And so I love the pick, and I think this guy could totally work out to be potentially a WR1 for the Chiefs for the foreseeable future. And so, yeah, I'm all in on Rashee Rice. We knew that we needed a receiver. We knew that we needed a guy that Patrick Mahomes could have chemistry with, a guy that he trusts. And you know, so I love the pick, and I'm totally excited about it.
Yeah, I think he's going to fit in well as far as when it comes to having a bigger bodied receiver as an X, essentially. And I think that he's going to be one of those guys that wins contested catches. And he's done that a lot at SMU. He's not the fastest by any means. He runs a 4.5, but he's exactly 6 feet. He's 204 pounds. He's got the kind of body you want. And he's pretty good after the catch, guys. I mean, he's kind of.
He's actually 6'1.
He's 6'1. 6'1", 204. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So he's pretty good after the catch. We've seen him a little bit have some wiggle, but I think that he's one of those guys that's really maturing as time goes on. And I heard an interview yesterday, as a matter of fact, from his receivers coach or coordinator, excuse me, over at SMU. And basically he's talking about some of the guys have gone through the system, and some of the Danny Gray and Cortland Sutton have gone through the system over there at SMU. And basically, you know, he kind of raved about Rashee Rice and the capability he's going to provide for this team. And I basically, whenever we let Juju Smith-Schuster go, it's like, yeah, you want to have a guy similar to that back in the system again. And I think he's going to fit in very, very well. And, you know, probably be the guy that goes out there, even as a rookie, probably get 65 catches or 70 catches for, you know, 900 yards or something like that, you know, as long as you're healthy. But he's a touchdown machine. Junior had nine. Senior had 10. Led the entire FBS in receiving yards, you guys. I mean, let's not forget about that. His coordinator compared him to Dez Bryant. That was his exact comparison, was Dez Bryant.
Yep.
That was coming straight from the coordinator that worked with him. So, hey, I would love to have Dez Bryant here as a Chief, that contested ball-catching guy, and go out there as a red zone threat from time to time and make some plays. So I'm really happy with that one as well.
I think that's what I love about him. He is a red zone guy. He knows how to find the he knows how to find the red zone, right? And I think that's, like, we were the second most efficient red zone offense last year next to Dallas. Dallas was first. So I think having a guy like Rice come into play, a bigger body, this gives a little bit more opportunity coming on, but it's also a guy that knows the pressure of when you get inside those 20s, it's time to go. So I think that's going to be huge for this offense here.
For sure. So anyways, good things to look forward to as far as that goes. The Chiefs filled another position of need. Third round, Wanya Morris, guys, tackle from Oklahoma. Obviously, we've shown a lot of interest in Oklahoma prospects on the offensive line. Creed Humphrey was one, obviously coming from center. Wanya Morris was a guy who was picked up in the third round. We're kind of assuming when that pick was made, he might be in the mix for starting over at right tackle. Yes. But here's some news that came out here just a couple hours ago. The Chiefs assigned Donovan Smith from Tampa Bay Buccaneers. One-year, $9 million deal, which tells me if you're making $9 million, you're probably starting for this damn team. He's 29 years old. I mean, this is not a guy that's overaged by any means. No. I mean, it's not a guy that's, oh, career is over by any means. It's not like that. It's not like you're signing Phil Loadholt, who's like 44 at this point. It's like, that's nothing like that. So now we're looking at a situation at the tackle situation where you just signed Juwan Taylor, who you know has flexibility to play both sides. But now you're kind of assuming maybe Juwan Taylor plays right tackle while Donovan Smith is a starter at left tackle. But then you just have a wonderful group of backups there at the right tackle's position between Wanya Morris and, you know, Lucas Niang, assuming he's healthy. You know, maybe a Kennard as well along the way. Maybe one of those guys can figure out how to play left tackle a little bit and swing over. I don't know, man. The tackle situation right now in KC looks pretty interesting, and it's going to be a battle in training camp at this point for me. It's going to be who's going to stand out the most in camp and mini camps even that proves their worth at each position. Because to me, when we first signed Juwan Taylor, I go, okay, you're paying him that money. I mean, he's got to be left tackle, but maybe not.
Maybe not. That's the thing, too, is like if you're Kennard or if you're – who am I thinking of? The other right tackle.
Niang.
Thank you. If you're Niang or Kennard right now, I'd be worried about your job right now.
Well, the rumor is Kennard might be switching over to right guard pretty soon.
Ooh, he is big enough for it.
We've seen the tackle thing enough from him, the slow feet. And in their mind, the slow feet equals you're going to be a guard. So that is the current thought process of the Chiefs current staff.
2015 NFL All-Rookie Team. He's part of that. Donovan Smith right here.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
8 years starting left tackle for the Buccaneers. Surprised he was on the free agent market this long. I don't really know what's going on necessarily. But anyways, that's the way I see it right now is that we have some things to talk about when it comes to the tackle situation. Because Wanya Morris in the third round feels like you should be a guy that's up for grabs to potentially start, and it looks like that's probably not going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think they just wanted depth, if anything. I mean, I thought when they drafted Wanya Morris, he was going to be a guy that could just push Lucas Niang for that starting job. But now after the new signing, I'm just like, okay, now all of a sudden I just don't think they trust Lucas Niang at all. And so they want to have a little bit of depth there. That
position. Yeah, you can't trust his knees, man. His knees are so destroyed that – Lucas Niang, in my opinion, to have any faith in him to be playing a full season is just delusional. So, yeah, I mean, you have to have depth there. You have to have depth. And if he does play, then so be it. But he's not a guy that I really trust to be on the field very much. So I got a couple more to talk about. We don't need to go over every one of them, not by any means today. But Shamari Connor, I was really happy with that pick. Fourth-round pick, pick 119 overall. 6 feet, 200 pounds, plays a little bit more like a linebacker, though, but yet it seems like he can play single high a little bit as well as down the box.
Isn't that when we brought in Thornhill? It was just kind of the same way where he has a little bit of linebacker stature to him?
Yeah, you remember that? Thornhill, well, he played a little bit corner, I believe, coming out of.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm thinking O'Daniel. That's who I'm thinking of.
Dorian O'Daniel?
Yeah.
Dorian O'Daniel played. He was a box safety. Pretty much full time.
I knew it was the same class. I couldn't remember.
Dorian O'Daniel was basically a linebacker. I mean, he was never really a safety for this team by any means. But for this guy in particular, I feel like Shamari Connor is going to fit in awesomely as a special teams guy. He's going to be battling a little bit there with Brian Cook, I guess, from some snaps here and there. But I like the way he presents physicality wise. Yes. Another one of those guys that we got some physical safeties on this team. And I like seeing that. And we got physical corners too. But we got physical safeties on this team that I'm excited about. And I just like the way he can play in the box, cover tight ends. But then there's also the flexibility where it seems like he can play single high if we need him to at any moment. Yeah. But not that we expect that to be the case this early on. But for nothing else, I'll say he's going to be an awesome special team here in year one.
Yeah, I like B.J. Thompson, the edge from Stephen F. Austin here. I think that was a nice little pickup at round five there. Maybe even a little steal.
That's the weird one for me that I'm unsure about still. B.J. Thompson in round five. I know I like the length, obviously. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, I told you guys, I was like, well, maybe that's like our new variation of Tano Passanio is a B.J. Thompson and see what we can get out of him in that regard. But I don't know that I like him by any means. I got to see something out of him before I can get excited about, you know, about a guy like that. I do like Keandre Coburn. The more I've looked into him, I like him quite a bit. I think he's going to fit in somewhere along the D-line, get some rotation in there, one of those kind of guys. And he's I've seen a few things now on tape that I'm like, okay, I see why we picked him. It makes sense to me now. So I do like him. He's not going to be your Kalen Saunders, you guys. It's not going to be like that.
So he's not going to go around and do backflips?
No, he's not going to do backflips. It's not like that. But I think he's not a bad pick, especially in the sixth round. So can't be mad about that. And then, obviously, we wrapped it up with Nick Jones, the corner. So we have a cornerback battle to finish off the draft. And then
depth and
the undrafted free agents, you know. We have those guys.
So we do got some comments here, guys. Two full out here. My contributions aren't exactly highbrow end of value, which you're right there with us, dude. Don't worry about it.
That's why we're called the sports buffoons, man. Yeah. We're here to give our takes and as thorough as we can opinions, while also not taking ourselves too damn seriously. That's why we're called the sports buffoons.
Between Tony, two false assists between Tony, Rice, and McKinnon, I think the red zone is fine. I think so too. Right. And then A.O. Saba says it's not Chiefs related, but it's a K-State kid. He wants to talk about it.
Oh, shit.
The moment between K-State running back Deuce Vaughn and his dad, who's a scout for the Cowboys, telling him he was being drafted to Dallas was tops. Look, these guys out here were just saying Deuce Vaughn nonstop until.
Yeah, I was begging for him.
We were standing there at Boulevard.
And I'm sitting here begging for him. I'm like, every pick that's made, we're sitting here debating who's going to take Deuce Vaughn. And what's funny, the second we leave Boulevard, Deuce Vaughn gets drafted to the Cowboys. And I show my phone to Jason. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like,
and then Jason leaves.
He's pissed.
Well, you know, to be fair, as bad as we wanted him, I feel good for the Cowboys. If you're a Cowboy fan out there, because, you know, you got Ezekiel Elliott sitting over there who's getting ready to shit the bed.
Free agent.
No. Yeah.
Dude, no one wants his ass.
Nobody wants him. He shit the bed, whatever. So now you gotta bring some young blood in there. I feel like Deuce Vaughn was a great, great pick for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, I just hope they use him right. That's my main thing. Because Deuce Vaughn's one of those kind of guys. He's a specialized player where you have to use him the right way in the NFL. I thought all along, oh, Sean Payton's going to get him to go to the Broncos. And that didn't happen. I thought the Rams might be interested, and that never happened. And the next thing I know, it's like, okay, well, it makes sense the Cowboys grabbed him. Because, you know, all along I felt like with the Chiefs offense, the way we're styled, that it would make sense for him to be a Chief. And, at the end of the day, you know, we passed up on him, and we'll see what happens. And I hope he has a good career in the NFL. It's not going to be as good as Darren Sproles, damn it. But
he just said, that's what Osama just said, Darren Sproles 2.0 right there.
It's, he's not going to be as good as Darren Sproles.
Could be better than Sproles.
Yeah, he's not going to be, no.
You just don't know, man. You don't know how it's gonna play out. Let's see what happens.
Oh, yeah,
not even burn, but you know. Anyways, you guys, let's go ahead and real quick talk about some surprises of the draft for us, you guys. Just seeing the whole thing play out. First round went by. I think the number one surprise for us right out the gate was Gibbs going to the Lions. Would that be your number one surprise?
I mean,
that early.
Can we not talk about what the Houston Texans did right off the bat?
I mean, are you surprised?
Them going up like that? To go back to back like that?
That's badass. I mean, I'm not surprised. But
I'm surprised Houston pulled that trigger.
It's an awesome idea. I don't know that I like their selection of C.J. Stroud, but I think it's also
You go in and get a guy that you want. You know, two guys, you're good.
Well, what they did, they pulled a Madden move.
Where it was.
You see everything comes out in Madden for the offseason franchise, and you go, well, I want that quarterback, and they want the top pass rusher. Well, they got their top quarterback, and then they got the best pass rusher, too, in the same draft. So that's awesome. Wait, I mean,
I think Houston's move was my first surprise. But, yes, Jahmyr Gibbs was my second surprise, eventually setting up the DeAndre Swift trade to the Eagles in the third day.
Well, at the time, whenever Gibbs was taken, DeAndre Swift was still a Lion.
But that's when you knew the writing was on the
wall. It still doesn't make sense to me.
It does.
I don't care either way that Swift got traded to the Eagles, which, by the way, is his hometown team. So DeAndre Swift is very happy about that trade.
Reunited with the Georgia Eagles.
Right. So the Georgia Eagles, that's what they are now. That was probably the main ones right off the bat that I was surprised about. There's a couple fallers that I was surprised about.
Joey Porter Jr.
Joey Porter Jr. going in the second round. And then, well, I guess it was technically the second round pick, 32 overall, Tanner. Come on. Normally that's a first round pick. And then obviously the kid from Army went undrafted.
Yes. Where did he end up? Did we find out?
I'm sure he's gone somewhere by this point. I mean, why would he not have? He went undrafted. And then there was a couple others. Jalin Hyatt went in the third round to the Giants. Jalin Hyatt, to me, was all along a late first round pick. And he fell quite a bit. Yeah, who else would be on that list of surprises that fell down the list? I felt like I had somebody else that was in mind. I don't think any of us were surprised by Will Levis going in the second round.
No, I could be wrong. I wasn't,
but I was not surprised at all. Were we surprised at all by Bijan Robinson going in the top 10?
No, I kind of figured it was going to happen maybe in the top 15. So him going in the top 10 was not a huge surprise there.
I was just surprised for Bijan going to the Falcons because I really don't know what they're doing over there, taking him at number 8. They had a guy in Tyler Algier that rushed for over 1,000 yards last year. They've got Cordarrelle Patterson. They've got Kyle Pitts that really didn't do anything last year. I mean, who are they going to throw the fucking ball to? I mean, they've got Drake London over there, but I just don't understand, like, how many running backs do we need if we're the Falcons? I guess maybe they're at the point where they know they're not going to win shit, and they're just, you know, maybe they're just trying to get great players because they know they're not going to win anything.
Well, yeah, at this point, if you're that team, you just load up on random talent. Well, see what the hell sticks.
You're going to run everybody to death on that team, right? Yeah. Matt Collins, Miller Scott.
Quarterback situation is going to be a problem.
Yeah, like you're going to have that issue there with the Falcons there. You got to hope Kyle Pitts is anything really to, you know, he was rookie year. And Jonnu Smith right there behind him. You got to hope he's anything related to like he was the Titans.
What's going
to
happen is Bijan Robinson's going to get ran into the ground. No, he's going to be getting 350 carries.
You know what's going to happen?
Something stupid like that.
Is all they're going to do is run the ball. Desmond Ridder's going to get benched or hurt. Taylor Heineke is going to be your guy.
Oh, yeah. No, what Tanner just said is true. That's how it's going to go down.
You're going to have Caleb Huntley, Cordarrelle Patterson, Tyler Algier, and Bijan Robinson just receiving and running
the ball. Honestly, does this mean Patterson's a receiver again?
Huh? No, he's still technically a running back.
Technically
behind Tyler.
When you look at it, though, realistically, now that Tom Brady is retired and Aaron Rodgers is no longer in the NFC, I mean, if you're the Falcons, I mean, aren't you a contender now? Because there's a bunch of dog shit out in the NFC. So
contender to win the
if you got Taylor Heineke, you could be the second best quarterback in the NFC.
Because
they're all shitball quarterbacks over there.
The Saints are going to be really good this year with Derek Carr. It's going to be really good.
That's fine. Them. Yeah, that's great. But, I mean, you got a bunch of mediocre / shitball quarterbacks in the NFC, and then you've got, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's it.
It's really going to come down to the NFC of can anybody's defense essentially stop anybody, but yet the offenses, you know, it's basically the defensive side.
Yeah,
you have to be able to stop. You can't play these 30, 40 points.
To me, it's Jalen Hurts, and then there's everybody else. I don't give a shit about Derek Carr. Yeah, he might have a great year. Not going to surprise me, but nobody's in their right mind if they're going to think that, oh, he might be an elite quarterback now in the NFC. Like, I don't trust that guy.
Andre the Carter II signed with the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, the Vikings. Okay, cool.
So that's where he went.
Okay. Yeah, good to know on that one. I was curious where he's going to end up. I mean,
I did too.
Part of it's he's a little overaged and all that. Jason's going to try to steal a drink off.
Can I have your sissy? Can I have your sissy?
You want to have a sissy drink right now?
So I'll pay you for it. How much do you want?
Who stole all those Bud Lights at the draft?
You want $3? No, we don't. We're not going to disclose.
So what about Marvin Mims Jr. going at the very last pick of round 2? And it's actually the KC traded with Detroit.
First of all, Tanner, that personally, that was not a guy that was on my radar. I know you liked him. Okay. I personally never cared for him. So him going in that range to me worked. It made sense to me. Okay. So that's not a surprise to me personally. Just like the Will Levis
going
thing.
To the Broncos.
I always felt like Will Levis was never worthy of a first round pick, and to me, probably wasn't worth a second
another
round
guy,
pick
right?
Either.
Tyler Scott, I believe it was. Didn't he go third round?
Trey Palmer. Hold on. Downs. No, Tanner. One of Trey Palmer from Nebraska.
Trey Palmer.
Went in the sixth round of the Raiders.
Josh Downs went in the third.
Yep.
And then Tyler Scott went in the fourth, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was day three because we were at Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to have been fifth.
Well, Scott might have gone on the fourth or fifth, but Palmer went in the sixth, which was a big drop off from where a lot of people thought. Downs, I'm not so surprised. I mean, to me, he was a third rounder all along.
I would have thought second, so, for as desperate as teams would have gotten.
The truth be told, this was somewhat of a weak receiver class this year. Once Jackson off the board, and I still feel like Hyatt was a better potential option than what the Chiefs ended up with, just for the upside sake of, you know, the explosion of the offense. But, you know, the Chiefs picked a guy that wanted to fit their style of offense, and it made sense, I guess, to get a guy that replaces what Juju does, but at no cost, and you can have him for 4 or 5 years,
yeah,
or 4 years, you know. So it made sense on that
we
regard.
We got Dave out here saying Georgia Eagles and the NY Packers.
Yeah, Randall Cobb is now a Jet. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Randall Cobb, the Jets, Alan Lazard. Have you guys seen how happy Aaron Rodgers is these days?
He looks great on Tuesday.
Aaron Rodgers has like a renewed, he feels like he's 25 again. Aaron Rodgers is extremely happy with his life once more. He went out and worked out with his new teammates there, you know, in Sauce Gardner's been hanging out with Sauce Gardner a little bit. Supposedly Sauce Gardner does not know who Jessica Alba is. They went to an NBA game and Jessica Alba was there, and Aaron Rodgers was saying, you know, do you know who that is? And he had no idea who Jessica Alba was. So
here's a fun little deal here. We'll bring it in, from the Pat McAfee show about Aaron Rodgers, cause you can hear it in his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And happy Aaron looks. Then at the Knicks game the next day, you're sitting courtside. Jack Harlow's two down.
Yep.
Alan Lazard's here. Yep. You go on the big screen. There's stars everywhere. That place popped louder for you than everybody else. How has it been awesome over there, dude? Congratulations on a fucking great first week, seemingly, in New York.
Pat, I'm having a blast. I am having an absolute blast. It's been so fun. I got here Tuesday night. And so today's like a week, and it's been a blast. It really has. To go to the hockey game, basketball game, meet all my guys, just get to know the facility. You know, I'm starting to look for some places to stay because they got me in the hotel right now, which is great. Green. It's like literally 2 minutes from the facility. But, man, it's been a great week. It really is.
Hell yeah.
Hey, how did it?
So that's just a little glimpse in that yesterday's show.
It sounds all right. I mean,
he just sounds so much better.
He was so pissed off about he's been pissed off for years.
Oh yeah,
the Packers. You know,
yeah.
It's like being in that toxic relationship for the better, you know, the last 3 years of your marriage,
Jason.
And you know, you get out of that marriage, and all of a sudden, you feel like a renewed man for a little while.
You picked up at like a really bad time.
No. I had to sit back and think about my own life for a moment. You know, you get out of that thing. Next thing you know, you're a madman.
Oh, well,
next thing you know, you're just enjoying life again for a little while.
AL Saba says, is Jordy Nelson coming out of retirement? Jason, you love talking about this Aaron Rodgers thing for the last, you know, 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. What's your thoughts here now that it's finally done and he's a Jet with a built up roster?
Well, first off, you know, he was talking about the fact that he's happy to be there. He's having a great fucking time. You know, you can put yourself in his shoes. And if you're going to shove $50 million up my ass and bring me all these fucking players that have been playing with me, give them your fucking receivers, give them whatever you want. Hell yeah, you're going to be happy. I could be playing for the Jets. I mean, I could be playing in Timbuktu for that matter. I mean, I just came out of a darkness retreat, and now I can do whatever the fuck I want. Of course, he's going to be happy, but I'm just happy personally because you took another elite quarterback out of the NFC, and you guys are getting sick and tired of me talking about this, but I love having all of the elite quarterbacks of one conference. I don't know what it is. I think it might be a fetish of some sort.
Yeah.
When you've got a guy shoving $50 million up his ass and then, oh, yep, here he comes over to the AFC. I didn't want him on the Jets, but you know, it's a big market. And so I'm happy that he's on the Jets because hopefully it's a guy that can cause Josh Allen to get his dick beat in, which is what I've been wanting to see as a Chiefs fan for a long time.
I would love to see Rodgers beat Josh Allen in a playoff game. Wouldn't that be pretty badass? I mean, that'd be fun to me. I would
enjoy
it.
It's not like, you know, it's not like the Chiefs haven't beat his dick for a while, or, you know, the Bengals. No, we've seen him get his dick beat in quite a few times, but I want to see it happen within his own fucking division. And we sure as fuck know that it's not going to happen with the New England Patriots. I mean, with what they're throwing out there with Mac Jones, which I do think Mac Jones, you know, he'll probably have a bounce back year, but he's not going to win that fucking division. I want to see a legit elite quarterback beat Josh Allen's ass. And that's what I'm here to see.
Dave says, until the playoff loss and the NY media eats him alive. He's happy till then, I guess.
Well, they're going to win like 11 games.
Maybe 12
if they're lucky.
Somewhere around 10, 11. Yeah.
10, 11.
So you think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a problem with the New York media?
Probably 11.
He doesn't have a problem with media.
Okay.
Because it's called, I'm just not going to talk to you. That's all it is.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit about New York media.
Any media.
Oh, he'll talk to Pat McAfee, though.
Pat McAfee
all
day.
That is his media. That is his media.
That's his only media.
We'll talk to him all day long. So, you know, he doesn't care about New York.
He does like that Bears fan from Barstool, though. He does enjoy him.
But the bottom line for me is I'm happy to see Aaron Rodgers in the AFC, Derek Carr in the NFC, where he fucking belongs.
Well, I think they're both in better places. You know what I mean? Stay as far away from the Raiders as possible, and also get out of Green Bay because they don't care about you. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those kind of things. I mean, if you think about the fact that Patrick Mahomes ran around this whole offseason throwing passes to NFL draft prospects, do you think the Packers have ever even thought about doing that with Aaron Rodgers? They don't give a shit what Aaron Rodgers wants. They don't care what Aaron Rodgers wants a receiver.
They never did.
They don't want to ask you what you want. They'd ask Alex Smith. The Chiefs would ask Alex Smith about what he wants. Aaron Rodgers, like, who's two times Alex Smith.
Even his thoughts, like, hey, what are you thinking here?
No, they never gave a shit about what Aaron Rodgers wanted.
I'm saying Alex Smith got the thought, like, hey, what are you thinking? Sure. But Aaron Rodgers, but you're not in the draft room, dude.
But yeah, at some point, Rodgers obviously got a big head about it. You know, I started feeling a little entitled about, I should be around the whole thing.
When you're successful like him and you see other QBs at that stature have input on their teams,
I would want to do that.
I would be pissed off too.
Absolutely. If Alex Smith is over here talking about how he got to have an input and advice on drafts and free agents and all this kind of stuff, because he said that after he was a Chief, after he left Kansas City, he talked about that. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers has never had an opportunity to do that.
He won them a Super Bowl
forever.
He's been MVPs, kept them contenders, and your peers have but more input than what you do.
So no, I understand the anger for Rodgers and why he's felt neglected for a while. In that franchise, because you know, look at the way the roster's been built over the years for him in Green Bay.
Yes,
it's been nonsense. It's been a bunch of crap.
It's like, hey, you're gonna develop these guys.
A bunch of crap, and then they get Jordan Love, and it's like, we could have just drafted a receiver instead of we get Jordan Love, who's gonna suck ass and sit behind me for 3 years.
They didn't give Jordan Love his fifth year option, but they signed an extension for it for almost the same amount of money. So it made zero sense. I don't understand that Packers place.
He sucks, dude. You're in the NFC. Oh, it's awful. You're in the NFC. Just give him what the hell he wants.
I was out Sunday for a little bit. I heard a lady talking outside on a patio saying, well, the Packers always have a plan for quarterbacks. They always have good quarterbacks. They have a plan. They have a plan.
They had two.
They have a plan. I'm like, they don't have a plan. They don't know what they've been doing for a long time now. This isn't Ted Thompson.
Dude, he's out there.
This is not your Ted Thompson's of your dad's age. This is not the same thing. That Packers organization is a mess right now.
Dude, he's getting a blind lead in the blind.
That is a dumbass organization at the moment. They've fallen down big time. Just because you had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for the course of 30 years doesn't mean that, we always have good quarterbacks.
Two quarterbacks.
You've had two
lucky quarterbacks
for a long time
to go that extension.
I feel like a lot of those Packers fans out there, they're making the assumption that Jordan Love is going to be another 15 to 20 year superstar.
So
I got some news for you. Like, that's probably not going to happen.
You're going to go draft Caleb Williams next year.
Yes.
First round.
Yeah, you draft somebody.
It's good. Marquez Tuiasosopo from the Raiders from back in the day. Get him over there. And
Jameis Winston will
throw
be
around,
a
you know?
Agent come next year. So.
You can bring Todd Blackledge out of retirement.
Tanner on the Let's Talk Sports podcast. We had Anthony, the quarterback from the old the Ravens.
Anthony Wright.
Anthony Wright was on the podcast here in Let's Talk Sports. I mean, to me at this point, I'd rather have him over Jordan Love.
Yeah. I mean, he's a Super Bowl contender, too.
Dude,
a Super Bowl champion.
He won a
championship. Yeah.
You could bring Jamarcus Russell out of retirement. He might like to play a few snaps.
He can play left tackle.
He might play some snaps.
I wouldn't.
Maybe defense, maybe nose tackle.
I take Jordan Love over him, so.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll go with that. All right, guys. Let's jump into NBA for a few minutes. Not to break the hearts out there, you guys listening, because I know you love hearing us banter about Aaron Rodgers all day. So, but we got a couple things in NBA. NBA playoffs are going on, obviously. So we have some great series in the moment.
Are we going to get to talk about how Phoenix is going to get swept?
Tanner, cool your horses, okay?
Okay.
Calm it down.
We're not talking about that yet, Mike.
Calm it down. They're not going to get swept.
Chris Paul's hurt already.
Well, he's always hurt, but calm it down. Anyways, so we have a great series going on really right now. I don't
Celtics
know
Celtics won 121-87.
Celtics did win that game. And right now we have Nuggets Suns, and we have one more. Jason, I'll let you go ahead and take the floor and discuss for a few minutes.
Yeah, so you guys already know my thoughts on Denver versus the Suns. I gave you my prediction on Saturday, but I kind of want to send this over to Mike to get his thoughts, because I've got a little bit of problem here in terms of, you know, we all look at recency bias when we look at whatever team Kevin Durant is on. And we all think that Durant, well, we don't think, we know he's a superstar.
Yeah.
We know that Devin Booker's a superstar. Yeah. And it's just like, at some point, we think that Kevin Durant can overcome everything. And, you know, I understand that, because in some respects, he should be able to overcome everything. But when you're an aging team, Kevin Durant is old. Chris Paul is older. Devin Booker's been injured this year. DeAndre Ayton is not a star player in the NBA, although he was the number one overall draft pick, has not proved himself. There is no bench. They're playing in the altitude. I don't need to go over this and rehash it over and over again. I just want to get Mike's thoughts on this series, because right now the Suns are down 2-0. I really like the body language of Denver. They're not a team that strikes me as being complacent here. They have a lot to prove. They actually have everything to prove, because Nikola Jokic, although he's won the MVP 2 times in a row, hadn't done shit in the playoffs. Jamal Murray, you know, has done well throughout the course of his career in the playoffs, but he's injury prone. And everybody thinks of him as just this guy. Oh, yeah, he gets he gets injured all the time.
We talked about this, Jason.
The Denver Nuggets as a whole have never done shit in the playoffs. And so, although they are the number one seed, I feel like they're the underdog that has everything to prove. And this is the one series that I think altitude actually means something, because you have a Phoenix Suns team that has no bench. And yeah, they have championship pedigree with one guy. CP3's never won shit. Kevin Durant's the only guy on that fucking team that has championship pedigree. You can't put it all on his shoulders. And so this is the one series where, although I never trusted Denver in the past, and I never really cared about the altitude meaning much, now it actually means something, because you have a team working with a skeleton crew. They are shorthanded in the Phoenix Suns. So as you guys know, I have Denver winning this series in 6 or 7 games, but I've got a resident Suns fan over here, so I want to get his unbiased opinion as to what he thinks is going to happen in this series.
Real quick, Chris Paul is expected to miss 3, 4, and 5 in the series here. So,
yep. I saw that report a little bit ago. Now I will say, yeah, Denver does have a lot to prove in this. I mean, this is a team with Jokic that's been, it's like you've given this MVP to him now 3 years in a row, right?
Two years
in a row. And yet, you know, it's kind of been a team that's kind of been lackluster. Now they're the one seed, the true one seed. There's a lot to prove for the Denver Nuggets. And as of right now, they're proving it. I mean, as of right now, they are the best team in this side of the things. For me, though, just watching how things are unfolding right now. I mean, we talked about how the Suns with Kevin Durant going into the playoffs only lost one game with KD on the floor, and then lost only one game in the previous series. And KD said it himself after game one. They got destroyed. And KD goes, they're asking if they're surprised. He's not surprised. He's like, this is the best team. This is the number one team. They're the number one team for a reason in the Western Conference. And so it's like, it makes sense as to why, you know, you get out there, you get beat by 15 points. And then game two comes around. The Suns had an absolute opportunity. They're not making their shots. And the fact is, right now, that lack of depth is actually starting to show its face with that Suns team at the moment, because Devin Booker is going out there playing out of his mind. I mean, he's playing at an absolute awesome, unreal level right now. Love the way he's playing. KD's playing pretty well. Maybe not as good as he could be, but he's playing pretty well. He's playing playoff ball. Chris Paul has not screwed things up yet for this team until now. The old injury, the old left groin injury, you know, has to raise his old head. And here we are. DeAndre Ayton playing like a little boy. How the hell
beat by the MVP?
How the hell is a little a big beat guy by the MVP. A big man like DeAndre Ayton? Why does he play like he's a little boy? I mean, I have never seen a guy like him play like such a small player in my entire life, but also not shoot threes. And so that's DeAndre Ayton for you. It's a joke. It's stupid.
Sign that extension though.
And then the problem is Cameron Payne goes out to replace Chris Paul and shits his pants.
Cam Payne and Damian Lee combined 1 for 12.
Awful.
In 42 minutes of game.
Awful.
Two.
Both of them were awful. The whole bench of the Suns now is rearing its ugly head. And that's going to be, at the end of the day, yeah, that's the truth. That's going to be the catastrophic ending for Phoenix, is because, yes, you have Devin Booker, who is an elite player. You have KD, who obviously is an elite player. But we're proving it right now in real time. You cannot win with just two elite superstars. You're going to have a team.
Kevin Durant isn't LeBron James, so he can't carry a team.
Well, no, he's not going to carry this team.
He's never carried a team.
As of right now, Tanner, Devin Booker is carrying this team more than KD is.
That's exactly what Devin Booker's done.
But
since he came into the league,
I'm just saying these two are right now still superstars, even KD's age. But DeAndre Ayton's an underachiever. Chris Paul's injured again. He's actually not been bad so far in playoffs,
averaging 13.
And the problem is that fifth, sixth, seventh guy on the court suck ass. That's the problem.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot of hesitation moving forward when we talk about teams going all in just to bring in a superstar and deplete their bench. There's a lot of talk about possibly the Milwaukee Bucks blowing it up and Giannis getting the hell out of there. And so I think there's going to be a lot of hesitation in terms of, you know, what do you have to give up? If I've got to give up five fucking first-round picks for Rudy Gobert, does that mean I have to give up 10 to bring Giannis onto my team? I'm not going to fucking do it. So I think that you're not going to see that happen as much. No. I mean, I understand that Kevin Durant is a generational player, but dude, even if he was younger, I mean, even if Kevin Durant was 30, you can't carry a whole team on your back like that. If CP3 is wandering out there at 55 years old or whatever the case may be. But yeah, this probably honestly is going to be a gentleman's sweep, but let's talk about the Celtics and Sixers just for a minute here. That game went final, and it was a blowout, 121-87. Celtics won, and the reason why they won, well, a couple of things here. They had to win, because if they didn't win this game, I mean, you lose two games at home like that, the series is over. But the other reason why they won is because Joel Embiid, who I was hoping they wouldn't throw out there in this game, because I didn't feel like they needed him to win the series, he played 27 minutes, only gave you 15 points. The Sixers didn't actually play this game. If you look at the scoreboard, 121-87, and then you go down to the box score, you realize that nobody actually played. The high point man for the Sixers was Tobias Harris, who gave you 16 points on 33 minutes. And that was the most minutes that any Sixers players played in this whole fucking game. They punted this game, guys. And the reason why they punted this game is because they knew after James Harden, the artist formerly known as James Larden, absolutely exploded in game one, they knew that that's all they had to do. They just needed to get one game on the road. Now they've thrown Joel Embiid out there. I think it's a bad decision because I want to make sure he's 100%. But, you know, he only gave 27 minutes, so presumably he's going to be healthy for the rest of the season. I personally don't think that they needed Joel Embiid to come back at all in this series. Now, you can say it would have gone seven games. That's fine. The way that James Harden played in game one and the way that he called out his teammates after that game, basically saying, get back to the locker room. Don't celebrate. This guy is serious, man. And he knows that basically what I've been telling you guys for the last 3 weeks. If you listen to the show like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I told you to bet on the Sixers to win the East. And back then you would have been getting some serious odds to make that bet. They don't need Joel Embiid in this series. There's something going on in that locker room with the Celtics. Now, the Sixers didn't even try in this game, okay? They punted, okay? So don't give the Celtics credit for winning this game. This was just a total punt. You know, the series is tied 1-1, but I go back to the Jaylen Brown comments back in March where he was saying things like, you know, when they were asking him about his contract, he said, well, you know, it'll work itself out if they want me or if I want them. And then he goes into another, interview talking about that there's a small segment of Celtics fans out there that are incredibly racist. And so Jaylen Brown strikes me as a guy that doesn't necessarily want to be there. And when you have a guy like that, you know, that toxicity can spread its way into the locker room. I personally don't believe in the first-year coach. I feel like they were a better team. You know, I was talking to Mike a little bit earlier about, you know, Mike thinks that they're the best team in the East or maybe in the NBA right now. I don't believe in them right now because they don't have what they had last year, which was Ime Udoka. Now, he got fired or whatever or let go for a situation that we're not even going to talk about. I personally think that he was a better coach, and that was a much better situation last year. But now you've got this toxic situation, a toxic environment. I just don't feel like that team is on the same page right now. And so the Sixers are going to win the series. I don't know how it's going to happen. You know, if Embiid gets injured again, like I honestly don't really care, because to me, James Harden over the years has proven that he's not that guy. If he's in like a conference finals or the NBA finals, but he has certainly proven that he can win a measly second round series against a Celtics team that just doesn't seem to be all in right now. So I don't trust the Celtics right now. And I want to get you guys' thoughts on that, but I was a little disappointed on Embiid actually playing, because I don't think they really needed him to win the series. But I know Mike, he's got a little bit different thoughts on the Celtics, but they kind of strike me as a team like they made the NBA finals last year. And, you know, when you compare a team like the Celtics made it to the finals last year, I mean, they kind of remind me of the Carolina Panthers when Cam Newton won the MVP,
really,
you know, and they made it to the Super Bowl and then they just shit the bed. That's kind of the same feeling I'm getting on the Celtics this year. I feel like their time has passed. It's going to be time to blow that team up sooner rather than later. Jason Tatum, who, you know, what did he get? Like 9 points?
No, he scored 7 points. He played 19 minutes. How do you play 19 minutes and yet still blow out a 76ers team?
He had 7 points.
Out of eight players, including the bench, he had the less time.
That's why I'm telling you, nobody cared about this game. If Jason Tatum gives you 7 points in 19 minutes, nobody gave a shit. Embiid was out there just to get his legs under him and to try to get his wind. Whoa. That was the only purpose of this game.
So the Celtics, I believe, looking here at Embiid stats and stuff, and the minutes played, it looks like the Celtics played, hey, we're going to pressure Embiid down low, and that's what they did. You know, with Robert Williams going out there, they got the bigger guys out there. You know, Jaylen Brown did this thing with 30 minutes, leading the charge to the Celtics with 25 points. Look, I think the Celtics team, who bought in, by the way, during this previous offseason, went out and got a Derek White, went out and got a Malcolm Brogdon. They went out and bought pieces. There's no way they're blowing it up next year. And I think they'd take care of this 76ers team, who's kind of overperformed going into this round.
I think they're blowing it up only because Jaylen Brown wants out of there. He doesn't feel like he's appreciated in that organization.
Why do you feel that way though about Jaylen Brown?
Just because you don't make comments like that in March, right before the playoffs start. You know, you're calling out your fans for being racist. You know, you're making passive aggressive comments towards your organization. Like, well, yeah, I'll sign a contract if they want me here or if I want to be here. You don't make comments like that right before the playoffs start. And then who, you know, I believe the Sixers are going to win, but if the Celtics blow this, if they don't win this series, they have to blow it up. And that starts with Jaylen Brown, because I just feel like he wants out of there.
Well, I just want to say, I don't believe they're the best team in the East. I do think they're the best team on the court today and through the series. And I think it's because it comes down to defensive play. I think that you're seeing a team that still has a really, really good defense right now. And I guess the team who's a little more hot and cold, which I always prefer the more stable of the two when it comes down to playoff ball. So for me, that's why I have the Celtics winning this series, and why I'm not overly surprised. I mean they held them to 86 points. Is that right? I'm not surprised by that. I'm surprised the fact that they scored 120 without Jaylen Brown. I mean, that's kind of a surprise, I suppose, playing most of the game. But I just think that whenever we look at these two teams, is that James Harden has had one of the best games in playoff history, just a couple days ago. And, we always talk about how reverting back to the mean a little bit. And, you know, that's what happened today. And that's possibly what could happen throughout the rest of the series, is we revert back to the mean. He's not a bad player at this point in his career, but I think he's washed up compared to what he used to be. And it's not good enough to be able to beat the better defense. And that's why I think the Celtics are a better team. And obviously you got Jaylen Brown and all that stuff.
It's not necessarily that where he's washed up or anything, right? For Harden here, it's similar to a Westbrook situation, right? So when you have another superstar or two superstars on the floor with you, that whatever it is, a confidence level, a role diminishing confidence level, whatever it is, it gets to you. But when you're the single guy on the floor, it's just like Russell Westbrook. He goes off. It's what he did game one. He went absolute ballistic. He's done this in the past when Embiid's out. So I think I just think it's a weird, I don't know, it's just a weird state for a Harden, for a Westbrook, because you see these guys go off, but then when you get your big-time guy back, then it's trouble. Well,
why is it there's guys like that, but yet there's guys like Devin Booker who elevate their game when they have an addition like Kevin Durant?
It's just different. I don't know.
I mean, what kind of mentality is it? Like, cause I mean, to me, whenever KD came to the Suns, I was like, yeah, this guy's actually going to help Booker's game. And it did. So why is it other guys like a Harden and it's like a Russell Westbrook can't succeed with that same thing?
So couldn't like a Booker, like, cause he had like a guy like CP3 for the last 4 years.
Tanner, that's a joke.
It's still coming from a guy
CP3
that was
CP3 has been a joke for the last 4 years.
Elevated.
He's literally a facilitator.
He came into the
Tanner.
Organization.
He passes the ball. That's all he does.
He came into the organization technically as a
star. He's not done shit as a son.
No, I didn't say as a son, did I?
I'm telling you.
Coming
since
in.
He's been, I don't care about coming in. He's not done anything.
You're talking about mentality, right?
Okay, so.
A guy that's been there with other superstars, right? Who comes in? Who can help Booker out that way?
Okay, and Booker was still a pretty young player whenever he got there.
So he takes in information.
Sure, he did that.
And now you got a guy like KD, and I don't think Booker feels like he's second best on the team. I think Booker looks at himself.
No,
as
Booker
the
has been the best on the team.
So there's your issue.
4 years.
Harden knows he's second best to Embiid. Westbrook knows,
but
he's
Booker
third
doesn't
best
feel like he's second best to KD.
No, Booker's not second best. He's better than KD right now.
But here's the thing. There's debates about that. People could say, no, KD's still better than Booker.
He doesn't listen to the media.
No, he doesn't worry
about
it.
In his mind, he's the best player on the team.
So you're telling me there's a bunch of weak souls out there in the NBA who are full of shit, who are overinflated egos, who are not as good as they really think they are, and that's why they fail is because their damn brain.
Because they think as soon as they see a guy like an Embiid or a Kyrie or a Paul George. Or LeBron James. They immediately go, oh, well, I'm second best now on this team.
So they're soft, pussy-ass bitches then. Fuck them.
The thing I will tell you about Harden is, I know you... You guys brought up Westbrook a little bit. Don't compare Harden to Westbrook right now in their careers, because Harden is a guy that he always had his ceiling, right? Now, he was the best player on the Rockets, and he could give you 45 or 50 points. He could win the MVP award.
He was the man on the Rockets.
He could win the MVP. But even back then, he always had his ceiling. He was never going to be an elite defender, right? And he was never going to be a guy that could, win the finals, although they came close.
Yep.
He was never a guy that you trusted in crunch time when they got really, really deep in the playoffs. However, he is a guy right now that I feel like he's the same guy. I don't feel like he is even close to being washed now.
Not at all.
When I watched him put up 45 in game one, I was like, dude, he just didn't give a shit in Brooklyn. You got to
not at all.
Just forget about the Brooklyn James Harden. It doesn't matter. He's not an old guy. I mean, he was in the same draft as Steph Curry. Is anybody sitting there after we saw Steph Curry in that fucking game seven? Does anybody think he's old? I don't. James Harden was in that same fucking draft. So James Harden, at this point in his career, he can give you 45 points.
Yes.
He can give you 50 points. I trust him. Like I told you, if Embiid missed this whole fucking series,
I trust Harden to do
Harden can win the fucking series because I trust him to put up 30 to 40 points in four games. And that's all you need to win a series is to be able to do that in four games. So Harden is still that guy. He understands that he's not the best player.
He's not the guy.
Because Embiid won the fucking MVP. So that's obvious to everybody. He's not the best player. But if my guy is out with an injury, I'm going to be that dude. And everybody knows that he's still that dude. And you got to forget about all that bullshit that we saw in Brooklyn last year.
Oh, that was like the end of Houston in the Brooklyn stint. That was like, that was just him upset, unhappy. He's in a much better team right now. He's also with a much better chemistry on this. And now he has a chance to win the championship.
If anything, that was such a joke on Brooklyn that if anything, he just saved his fucking legs and he had less mileage on his legs. So
exactly.
We got to move on to the Lakers versus the Warriors. So Lakers won game one, 117 to 112 over the Warriors. I think the Warriors were just basically gassed after that long seven game series, but you did have a prime Anthony Davis show up and give you 30 points. And I've always said, you know, 30. if you could trust a guy like Anthony Davis to put up a game like that for four games, kind of like we're talking about with Harden, you're probably going to win most of these playoff series because LeBron only had to give you 22. As far as the rest of the Lakers, hey, they play great defense. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what could take this series to the limit. I know we're all thinking about, you know, the Warriors being, you know, the defending champions, and that's true. They've got snipers on that team. But the one thing that the Lakers can do to extend this series or make it a seven game series is to play elite defense. And that's what they're doing. D'Angelo Russell, Dennis Schroeder, those guys are not going to give you 19 points a game, guys. You Lakers fans out there, I'm sorry. They're not going to fucking do that. They'll probably only do that maybe one other game this series. But on the bright side, Austin Reeves, he only had 10 points. He's going to give you a little bit more, I think, in this series for a couple of games. On the Warriors side, you know, you had Curry, Thompson, and Poole were the only guys that showed up basically on that whole team. Wiggins only gave you 15. Like I said, they were gassed. But the most important thing that I want you guys to think about in this series is I've talked about it before. I don't know how many times. This series is much more than a second round NBA playoff series. Guys, this is the battle between Steph and LeBron James, because right now they've got four rings, and I'm sure LeBron James listens to this show every once in a while and he listens to my shit about that I love to give him that, you know, you might be the best player in the history of Akron, but maybe you're not. This is his chance to go out and prove it, because right now, Steph and LeBron, both out of the city of Akron, both have four rings. If either one of these teams gets out of this series and goes on to win a championship, dude, that fucking debate, I think, is over.
LeBron won many records.
No matter who wins, I think LeBron listens to this shit, and this series is important to him. But I'm telling you,
it's important, but not for that reason.
If the Warriors win this series and go on to win the finals, I think that debate's over. No. And I think Steph is a better player for
sure. One thing's for sure. If LeBron James listens to this show, he would tell you to your face, this is his favorite show in the world. You know, he's a great liar. And so he's full of shit quite a bit.
Oh, the liar. You're talking about the liar.
The liar, LeBron James.
LeFib. So can we call him LeFib?
He would probably, fill you up with some bullshit. But, I think we all kind of feel like the Lakers have had a great run. I'm happy to see them have some success again after such an awful last couple of years, because it's been annoying to even think about
since 2020.
I think that the Warriors still are the better team. And I know they tripped up a little bit, but I'm happy personally to see some more success coming from the Lakers organization, just because it is annoying that, you know, it is such a prominent team in the world. And we turn on ESPN and all they're talking about is Lakers bullshit, even though they suck ass. It's like, no, actually they're winning. They're actually winning games now, and they've been a good team, especially the second half of the season. And now here they're in the playoffs beating a really good, you know, hey, we was talking about teams that turn it on in the playoffs, Jason. Well, where was the Warriors last night? You know, it didn't happen. So, I mean, the Lakers are a pretty legitimate team right now. They could put up a fight against the Warriors.
Warriors got their dicks beat in, even though they won that last series. I mean, that drained the hell out of them. But, you know, I like the fact that you're going to get a chance to see LeBron versus Steph. And I think, you know, if the Lakers can somehow win this series versus the defending champs, I'll be the first guy to give him credit, because if you can do that, I mean, we all talk about LeBron having to prove himself. You know, he had that weak ass competition early in his career when they had these shitty ass teams out in the East. Still he didn't have to do shit. Now, all of a sudden, you got to go up against Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins, Jordan Poole. Now, if he can do that against this team, man, you're just moving yourself up the Richter scale. You're getting closer to Michael Jordan, because that's who we all want to compare him to, right? Is he better than Jordan? Is he slightly worse than Jordan? You beat this fucking team right now, even if he doesn't win a championship, like that's going to blow up LeBron James's stock in my book.
So let me ask you something here on the Golden State Warriors. Okay. If you guys remember before the season started, we had the incident with Draymond and Jordan Poole, where Draymond punched Jordan Poole, right?
Shoot, man, that was a different lifetime ago.
Okay, I know. That was like 900 months ago.
Pretty much.
NBA lasts forever, right? But you're seeing now in the playoffs where Jordan Poole still isn't even shaking Draymond's hands. He's walking around him, ignoring him. Does this incident catch up with the team chemistry, even if they go further? Mm-hmm. Does this incident catch up to this team at some point?
No, I'd hope not, because when it comes to the court play, at the end of the day, that off-the-court nonsense or whatever doesn't matter. I mean, to me, when it comes to when you're playing a sport, it's whenever the game is on, whistles blown, balls thrown in, like nothing else really matters as far as outside of that. But at that point, game's on and all bets are off. So worrying about, you know, animosity between guys is just nonsense to me. And that goes for every sport, in my opinion. That's just maybe the way I see sports anyway. You handle your business on the court, on the field, and maybe afterwards you can give them a little, you know, fuck you type mentality. That's fine. But I don't think it's something to worry about as far as punking them out or something like that, or somehow Draymond affecting the team chemistry or anything like that. Like, I don't think that's going to be an issue, in my opinion.
I think it can matter, but I don't think it's going to matter in terms of the Golden State Warriors, because those guys are professionals and they're trying to go back to back right now. And Jordan Poole and Draymond, both of those guys, even if they don't really like each other, I mean, you don't have to hang out after work and go get drunk or anything like that. But I mean, they're both professionals and they both want the same thing. And they're both professional enough to understand that they both want to go back to back. And to me, that's not a big deal. I think Draymond is probably going to be out of there in 1 to 2 years anyway, and Jordan Poole won't have to deal with it.
But hold on. Whenever Thomas Jones punched Jonathan Baldwin in 2011, I think that's why the Chiefs sucked so bad. Obviously, I mean, Thomas Jones hit Jonathan Baldwin,
and that's what
sure,
I mean.
Those other reasons.
that's what I mean. If you're a mediocre or a shitty team, I think those things do matter. But if you're a team with championship pedigree like the Warriors, that's when you get to a state in your life when you're saying, okay, I'm a professional. I'm getting paid a lot of money to do a job, and my job is to win a championship. If you're a lesser team, then fuck it. Go punch his lights out, and then you can all eat shit.
Yeah, Steph kind of playing moderator right now between the two. So I don't know. It just seems like we're over 90 games in.
I'll say this. I mean,
it just seemed odd. That's still going on.
If there's a guy in the league as a coach that can handle that type of environment, it's a guy like Steve Kerr, who got punched in the face by Michael Jordan. So he's a guy that's been in that situation, and he knows how to handle those things and, you know, just have a sense of professionalism. And that's what the Warriors are all about.
That's what we do at all of our workplaces, though, if you think about it. I mean, I've got people at my current job that I'm not a big fan of, and then maybe I thought were dickheads. And, you know, I might go out with them just this past week and have to work on a project together. But here's the thing. I might have thought you were a dickhead for the last 7 months, but when it comes to actually doing a job, working on a job together, getting the mission accomplished, then at that point, I don't give a damn what our past was. We're trying to get something done. We're trying to be efficient. We're trying to get the job done and fix whatever the problem was. And, you know, in the NBA case, win a championship. So you put those things aside and finish your work. And, you know, maybe whenever the job's over, you clock out, you might go, oh, that guy's still a dickhead. I don't really give a shit if today went smooth. You know, you can think that way. That's fine. But when it comes to the NBA, we're all trying to win championships,
so you're
right?
Just saying, between the lines, it doesn't matter what their attitudes are. If they go to the bench, it don't matter what they do. Like, just between the lines, it's all you need.
I'm saying in a real world, it shouldn't matter. Doesn't matter.
We're not talking about real world people here.
What doesn't matter in this case, I'm still going to say no. I'm still going to say no to the question, but I'm also going to say it shouldn't matter and doesn't matter. No, yeah. But there probably has been instances in the past in sports where it has mattered. And this is not one of them for me that really matters. And I think that we all need to be grownups about things.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even in terms of this show, like when I see you guys on social media, like specifically I'm talking about Mike and Tanner, you guys fucking piss me off every fucking day. Like, I can't stand you fuckers. But then when we show up on the show, we can put our differences aside. I give you guys a hug every time I walk onto this fucking set, and you know it. But, you know, although I get pissed off at you otherwise, when I see you face to face, like, it makes a big difference. And I know that we are all professionals here. We can put our differences aside. And that's what I love about you guys. That's what, like, I love about life.
That's like me and a lot of my friends.
That's what I love about life. That's how it is.
So, guys, that's why, Tanner, that's a silly question, man.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. Look, Jason, I'm just glad you don't go Dylan Brooks on me. So that's all I ask.
I'll wear the hat, by the way. You're pissed off at me. I didn't wear the hat this week. I'm going to wear the hat.
All right, guys, we got to wrap it up here. So is that the last game we're going to talk about for now? We got a few more games coming up, obviously.
Coming this weekend here, we got our In the Hoop show in NBA, our NBA show we do with Scott Coe from Let's Talk Sports. So make sure you guys tune in, hit that bell, subscribe button. You'll guys know when we'll go live. So
absolutely. I'm so happy you guys all tuned in, by the way. I know this probably wasn't as excited as Limitless was last week, but, you know, we're back in the saddle again, back here in Lenexa.
I mean, I'm wearing my Limitless shirt.
You got the Limitless shirt on
from it.
Back here at the main Buffoon studio. And we're going to be that way for quite a while, I'd say. I don't think we have any plans yet in the works. But if we do, we'll be ready to tell you guys. And we've got lots of NBA coming up, guys. I mean, we got the draft over with now. So going forward for the next, couple of weeks, we'll probably be doing lots of draft talk. Or not draft, but NBA talk.
NBA talk, yeah.
Let's go back to Mr. Bruce. Can we do a fucking show over there every once in a while?
Well, actually, we should rent out the space. Yeah, because last I heard, it was an empty
junkyard.
Junkyard type of thing, yeah. There's a lot of room in there to work around. But there might be no people, no fans in attendance for that one, so that would be disappointing, I guess. Well, guys, thank you all for listening and tuning in. And you guys have any final words before we kick it off here?
Guys, just tune in Saturday or this weekend for our In the Hoop show. Hit that subscribe, follow, like button, guys.
All right.
Outro, baby.
See you on the next one.
See you guys.